Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The great LeVar Arrington. LeVar, what the hell is happening? Final hour of the program. How are we?
You know, one of my observations working with you, you are the tease guru. Let me tell you something. People don't understand how complicated or how difficult it is to do live radio, right? It's like it is what it is. It's like takes a talented person to be able to do it. But when you start adding in the extra elements of being able to do live reads, people don't understand that. Live reads can go really, really bad sometimes, you know, and then there's the tease. Like, you are like the tease phenomenon, bro.
Yeah.
Like, your tease game is like Darth Vader strong, bro.
I'm a sports talk radio stripper. I'll tease you all night or all morning. It doesn't matter. Like, I am the stripper of sports talk radio. That's what I do.
It's really good. Just gotta be honest with you.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. It's been
I'm throwing ones at you. The whole entire show, bro.
Yeah, so and I'm scooping them up as fast as I can. This has been a lot of fun, and it's been fun working with you and having these conversations, sticking up for Penn State and James Franklin last hour. Now, sure. That being said.
Hold on, Jonas.
Yes.
Hey, Danny G.
Yeah.
Where was Jonas yesterday, man?
So, obviously, he was doing the morning show right here with you. I get in my car in Los Angeles to run an errand in the middle of the day yesterday, and he was on the Blowtorch AM 570 LA Sports with Rogan, with the legendary Fred Rogan. And then Petros and Money come on. I'm listening to their show, enjoying it. They go to commercials, and I'm like, let me check out the FSR app. So I turn on Fox Sports Radio on the app, and for some reason, I was thinking the Odd Couple was going to be on. Whose voice? Jonas' voice with his buddy from Vegas, straight out of Vegas. So Jonas, three shows in a row in my eardrums.
Wow.
The slut of the radio industry.
It is. Yeah, look, I have no life. Let's just call it what it is. I have no life. I got nothing better to do, and so I just thought, all right, well, if there's an opportunity to do radio, I'll take whatever I can get at this point. I'm not picky. I'm just not a picky guy. Just the way I am.
That's how you get ahead, though. That's just another way of saying that's how you get ahead.
Well,
you earn your stripes that way.
Yeah, listen, and plus, we're fortunate to get to do what we do, and I always remember that because I've worked a lot of crummy jobs, and so I'm always appreciative of the opportunity to crack a mic, and to be able to do it with you, LeVar, is always fun. Unfortunately, we can't share everything but good news, all good news here on Fox Sports Radio, because the LA Clippers, no Kawhi Leonard for tonight's Game 2 against the Phoenix Suns, and they are waiting to see about the status of Marcus Morris as well, too, because he got a little banged up in the first game. And listen, you've been in Southern California long enough to know about the plight of the LA Clippers and sort of the conversations that surround that franchise. And I don't know if there's a comp for you in your career, whether it's Washington, playing in high school, but the LA Clippers seem to find themselves in a spot to where right when you think they've turned a corner, right when you think this team's figured it out, right when you think they're going to break through and possibly win an NBA championship, especially with all these other injuries going down, injuries to not only Kawhi Leonard, but now also Marcus Morris have kind of plagued them again. And so here we go again. The Clippers unable to get the lady luck on their side here as they try and get to an NBA Finals for the first time in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, and they're playing a super hot team in the Phoenix Suns. I think they had to understand that when Kawhi hurt his knee, they should expect and anticipate that he's going to be done for the year. That's not my first thought on Kawhi. So I don't think Kawhi should come as a heavy hit. Morris is a more curious discussion because he is a very, very strong player for the Clippers, and you need to have him, you know, and you need to have him be aggressive and be assertive and being an offensive force and being on the defensive side of the ball. So if he's not there, they're already shorthanded, not having their best player, but then not to have a role player of his caliber and Morris to not be available, that would be a tremendous blow to the Clippers. Paul George has raised his game. You know, other guys have raised their game for the Clippers, and they're going to have to continue to raise their game in order for them to have a chance in this series, because it's just that's a daunting task. I mean, you look at the personnel of the Phoenix Suns right now, and it makes you wonder, you know, who in the playoffs right now, who's left that could actually, you know, could beat them.
Yeah,
and that's just kind of it's sad, because this is a year that if you have everyone healthy for the Clippers, it's the Clippers' year to win the championship, no doubt about it. But that's not the case, and that's just something that, you know, they got to live with.
Yeah, and then on the flip side of it for Phoenix, Chris Paul is still listed out for Game 2. Now, look, I think the Clippers can get Game 2. I think they can win that, especially with Chris Paul out. I just don't see, and you've played on enough teams now to know, it's one thing if you miss somebody and somebody gets injured, you know, and then you end up getting hot. Like, you know, what happened with the Eagles and Nick Foles and Carson Wentz goes down. I mean, that was a stud roster. And so, you know, now that you see what's happened to Carson Wentz since, you kind of ask the question, well, how good was he? Or how much of that was just the roster around him and the run that Nick Foles went on that was able to get them that Super Bowl? But at a certain point, like, these missing pieces have to pop up at some point or another. Like, at some there's going to be a point in the game where it's tight and you're going to want to, you know, go to a Kawhi Leonard or go to a Marcus Morris, and you're not going to have him there. So I think they can get Game 2 without Chris Paul in the lineup. As it stands right now, he's not going to be in the lineup because he's still, you know, dealing with the COVID restrictions and what comes along with that. That story still is a little odd to me. I don't know if we can actually – yeah, it's very strange. But I just don't see how this team, without Kawhi Leonard, I mean, gets to an NBA Finals. And Phoenix, to your point, is red hot. I think they've been the most impressive team in the postseason so far. And other than Milwaukee, I don't know of anybody that I would say is going to get, you know, two games from them in a seven game series right now. I think it feels like this is going to go Milwaukee Phoenix, and then we get ourselves, I think, a pretty good NBA Finals from there.
I would have to agree. Yeah. I would have to agree that's. You know, I had the Lakers playing the 76ers in my poll, you know, that we fill out for the station.
Yeah.
But I think that as this thing has developed, the Phoenix Suns have emerged as the team to beat on the West. And I'm not so sure who the team to beat on the East is. You know, it could be the Hawks. The Hawks could shock the Milwaukee Bucks. I think that's a conference championship that's up for grabs, which is great for sports. But I just don't see the Clippers having enough personnel unless Tyronn Lue can pull another rabbit. Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Unless he can pull one out of his hat, I just don't see it. I could almost see them getting swept, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's and look, injuries are a part of the deal, man. Like, it's a part of the deal for a lot of these teams, and whoever's the healthiest is going to be the last team standing in the NBA playoffs, or at least that's how it feels. LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox here, Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio. Let me ask you about this, though.
Okay,
keeping it in the city of L.A.
Okay.
I understand that Sean McVay is really excited about the addition of Matt Stafford. All right, he is heaping praise on Matt Stafford, and he's celebrating Matt Stafford, and I do think he's an upgrade over Jared Goff as a quarterback. But it's not like Jared Goff didn't win a bunch of games with the LA Rams. You know, like, it's not like the Rams were a bad football team and they were just one piece away from finally making the postseason. They were in a Super Bowl. They were in the playoffs multiple times over. And then you can argue in the playoff game last year at Seattle, in which Jared Goff was called into duty after John Wolford went down with the injury early. Jared Goff, with one hand, outplayed Russell Wilson. And then in that divisional game against the Green Bay Packers, man, the Rams were in that game for a long time. And he played pretty damn well considering the injury he was dealing with. So I get the excitement because Matt Stafford, the ceiling is higher with him. But how much better are the Rams with Matt Stafford as opposed to Jared Goff? Like, I just don't think it's that much of a difference that a lot of people are making this out to be, especially Sean McVay, the head coach.
Well, that's fantasy football culture, and I don't know how much better they are, because what does Jared Goff represent in terms of continuity and familiarity with the playbook? I just don't know. I don't know because, and I mean, Matthew Stafford is a better quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean that just is what it is.
Yeah.
But is he a better quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams is what – I don't know that he's so good that we sit here and we say he's a definitive upgrade and the sky is the limit, you know, for this Rams team. I don't know that we say that, but I don't feel like you can't say it. You know what I mean? So it's like if it's a conversation that they could be that much better – And seemingly they could be that much better with Matthew Stafford. All that really matters is that the coach, you know, if Sean McVay feels that way, because ultimately I think it was Sean McVay that got outcoached in those latter rounds in the Super Bowl and last year, you know, trying to get there.
Agreed.
I think he got outcoached. So.
Yeah.
If you're going to put it on Jared, you know, that would be inaccurate, you know.
Yeah.
But if he can put a guy in place like Matthew Stafford that can help him overcome the coaching, you know, situations in those games, then we're going to find out.
And I just think that this idea, and look, I to your point, and it sounds like, you know, we're contradicting ourselves, but no, this is the point is. Matt Stafford is a better quarterback than Jared Goff. He can make throws that Goff can't make. He can do things that Goff can't do. All of that is true.
Correct.
But it doesn't mean that just because you add him, that was the missing piece to win a Super Bowl. Because, look, yes, Sean McVay got outcoached in that Super Bowl by Bill Belichick, and it wasn't even close. I mean, he was visibly flustered on the sidelines because Belichick was throwing things at him that he had no answer for. And if not for his defense keeping him in that game, that would have been a pretty brutal Super Bowl. I mean, it was pretty brutal to watch to begin with, but that would have been a really ugly loss for him. So all of that is true. I look at Matt Stafford and I go, I understand this idea that, well, you know, we got him out of Detroit. Detroit was a disaster. Now he's got a chance to go somewhere and actually win some games. Yeah, but he was a part of all that. Like, I mean, so this idea that Matt Stafford didn't have any part in the struggles of the Lions, I don't buy into that. And so when I hear this stuff from McVay, not to mention the division they're in is going to be an SOB, man. I mean, the 49ers look like they're going to be healthy and they're going to be back. Russell Wilson, allegedly him and Pete Carroll are friends again. I think he's the best quarterback in the division. So that gives them an edge over everybody else. And then who knows if Kyler Murray and Cliff take the next step and they can figure things out and Kyler can stay healthy towards the end of the season. I just don't see this as a slam dunk upgrade and they're going to do greater things than what they did with Jared Goff. I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to justify it because, I mean, they're a defensive heavy team as well. You know, I mean, they rely so much on their defense and the leadership and presence that Aaron Donald brings to the table. You saw their season went to shambles when Aaron Donald hurt his ribs. So can they become a more – and this is probably why he's happy as hell that he has Matthew Stafford, is they have a chance to become a more balanced team. Like, it's definitely defensive heavy.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if they can become just as dangerous as an offensive unit as they are on the defensive side of the ball.
And let me ask you from a defensive perspective, because you see the game from that side that's better than anybody else can possibly break this down. How historically great is Aaron Donald as a player?
Well, you know, he's from Western Pennsylvania.
Of course.
He's from where my family's from, let's start there.
That's the lead. Yeah, that's the lead.
Let's start
this,
there. Something in the water.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
There's something in the water as it applies to just being
It's those Permane brothers, you know?
Yeah, it might be the Permane brothers fries on the sandwich, if that does the trick. But, you know, the thing about Aaron Donald is you can't explain or begin to comprehend why he is as dominant as he is. The last time I seen a defensive lineman dominate in and around the area where Aaron Donald is would be Warren Sapp.
Yep.
And I say this with all the utmost respect. In my opinion, I don't even think that Sapp is close to what Aaron Donald is. And the reason why I say that is there's something about what Aaron Donald is able to do that separates him from almost any other defensive lineman that we've ever seen play the game, interiorly speaking. He's so good. Like, I think of J.J. Watt at his highest level. I think of Reggie White.
Lawrence
like
Taylor.
At his dominant prime, all those guys could play every single technique. They can go from zero technique, meaning your right head over top of the center, three technique being in the A gap, and on out to being at a six eye, seven, nine technique where he could be at a defensive end's position and still be over, like, amazingly effective in what it is that he's able to do. So, and he's small. He's not a big dude.
No.
I mean, he's a brick, but he's not a big dude. So it's like when you look at him, it was almost like God was like, you know what? I'm going to shake things up a little bit. I'm going to make this dude and I'm going to like create an anomaly because he's going to be perfectly built to be a defensive lineman. But you're not going to understand why he's perfectly built to be a defensive lineman.
He's just an unbelievable talent, man, and so much fun to watch. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, coming up next, he is one of our favorites, a brutally honest sports talk host and personality. He is Petros Papadakis, and he joins you next here, Fox Sports Radio, and it's Outkick the Coverage here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Coming up later on in the hour, there is an issue that a former team of LeVar Arrington's is having right now, and we are going to get the solution from the man himself on this issue, this major issue moving forward. That'll be taking place later on in the hour, LeVar. But right now, he is always kind enough to join us here on Outkick the Coverage. It is a Tuesday tradition while LeBron James sends out Instagram videos of some crummy tacos Petros on Taco Tuesday. Petros Papadakis starts out his Petros. Mornings with us here. AM 570 LA Sports, Fox College Football Analyst. Petros, what's happening? Jonas and LeVar with you.
Good what morning, up? Guys. How are you? Hello to Real everybody. Well. What's the problem? What's going to be solved? I mean, you got me with the tease.
Listen, yeah, right? You know, LeVar's got a former team, and they continue to have these issues with their
what
team.
What is it? It's the Nittany Lions or who?
No.
It can't be the Nittany Lions.
Excuse me, the Washington football team?
That's probably the best pick.
Yeah, I think that would be the best bet. They can't seem to figure out what they want to do with this name. Trademark issues. They're still trying to sort through all that stuff. So I figure if anybody can solve that issue, LeVar Arrington could be the guy to solve that problem.
I'm glad you have confidence.
People look to him for this, for leadership in these kind of things. Yes, I agree.
Petros, USC alum. I mean, he's been trying to fix USC's problems for a long time, and for whatever and reason, they don't want to listen to him.
Well, there you go. Well, they beat us, so I won't talk too much trash on USC last time we saw them. So it is what it is.
It is kind of interesting because USC is not what they were, obviously, when LeVar was – actually, LeVar, we sucked when LeVar was playing. And then
y'all weren't that bad, but you guys
the first
weren't
game,
that good. That's
I
all.
Played in the first game that didn't have LeVar. So we played Penn State in a kickoff classic.
The Meadowlands.
Right? And a few years before they had played the same game, USC, Penn State at the Meadowlands. And my older brother was starting at Mike Backer, and Curtis Enos obliterated
him. Sliced you guys, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like a sashimi. And a few years later, we played the same game, but no LeVar. And it's the first game of the year, so you never really know, especially with the film, because it's a whole different team coming out a year later with college and all the movement of the players and coaches that year for Penn State. And we were watching on film, studying. We had 3 weeks to prepare for one of those games. Those old kickoff classics were like bowl games to start the season without as many gifts. And I just remember watching the tape. And, like, before we put on the tape every day, our coaches would be like, all right, LeVar Arrington's not there. Number one is not playing. So you just have to imagine this defense without the guy making 90% of the tackles.
Oh,
and we did end up winning that game. I think we blocked a punt and I scored a touchdown. But if you think about it, LeVar, I mean, USC's not good now at all. They had that 1 year, and it's a lot like Charlie Weiss's biggest win was a loss to USC. In that Bush push game, it's kind of similar for Penn State right now. Like, the biggest win they've had in recent history is that weird loss in the Rose Bowl where they just kept throwing it deep. It's odd.
Yeah, we had that game too. I don't know. I tuned out and then I had to tune back in, and it was too late. And I think that's what our team did, literally in person.
Yeah, he just kept going deep, and eventually he was going to throw a pick, and Sam Darnold got hot, and that was the last time Clay Helton or USC really had anything good happen to him, at the end of a season.
But
the last few years,
getting great recruiting classes, though.
Yeah, but that'll never stop. There's always going to be. There's a kid right now working out somewhere in Los Angeles, and he's not going anywhere else.
Yeah, that's true.
Doesn't matter who's the coach.
Yeah. Petros, where do we – so after yesterday's Supreme Court ruling and where they're, the NCAA, they can't limit education-related benefits, people are now, steering this in the direction of, well, what does it mean moving forward? Name, image, and likeness is happening. And so, what are the dangers in this?
How
can this get out of control?
Well, the dangers are the reason we have all these weird arbitrary rules in the first place. USC would have some guy that owns a Hollywood studio hire Marcus Allen to mow his lawn for $40,000 an hour. And you could say, he's got a job, And that's what happened for years and years all over the country. And that's why they wouldn't let people work. I mean, we had to lie about me waiting tables at my dad's restaurant when I was playing at USC, because technically it may have been against the rules, although they've been adjusted since then. But the truth is the name, image, likeness thing only really benefits the LeVars, you know, people that are recognized all over the place in the community and in the conference and then nationally in the college football world. Like, those guys are already going to make money in the NFL. It's a good step. I mean, it's something we should have done a long time ago. But the Supreme Court ruling yesterday was kind of, to me, an opening door to start paying at least revenue sports, which are men's basketball and football. The problem is, and we talk about this all the time, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but the problem is you run right into Title IX, which is something that happened, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Is that equal play for all or something like
that? Yeah. Same reason, like, there's all those different sports on campuses was to make up the scholarship discrepancy, which is one of the stipulations of Title IX. I remember in the 90s, I was at USC. They were desperately trying to add women's soccer. It was successfully, they did so, and crew. And since then, they've added women's lacrosse. And it's all be compliant with Title IX. So
combat Title IX.
Yeah, well, that's what they're going to end up having to do, right?
Because
you're going to want to pay people, because look, we're talking about billions of dollars now, and the people at risk are not, they're getting spit out by the universities. The education's great if you take advantage of it, but there's a lot more there. I think we all agree on that now. But they're going to run into a lot of political kind of muck and gobbledygook, and there's just going to be a lot of red tape going forward because everybody's going to want to get paid. And the truth is, the reason most of those sports exist is because of football and men's basketball on these campuses. And those are the people they have to figure out how to pay. And I have an idea on how to do that, too.
Let's hear it.
All right. Everybody, you get, like, and I'm not the first person, I'm sure, to mention this, but upon every 12 units, they put, like, 20 G's in the bank or something. And when you graduate, as opposed to just being,
like,
you
trust.
Know, yeah, you get $200,000. I mean, could you imagine how much that would help all the guys that you played with and all the people that you've known in football your whole life? Your life would be so different upon finishing in college, and you have a degree and something to start your life with and start your family with.
All right, but what if I said this to you? What if I said, to figure out a base salary scenario for these four, you know, like you said, teams that are profiting, generating revenue, because I think that that's the biggest discrepancy in the debate as it applies to the Title IX and the other sports. But as it applies to the player himself staying in school. Like, that would not benefit a player that wants to stay in school but will leave because they can go get money in the league. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but you can always go back and graduate. I mean, you can always go back and
but how many guys
degree.
I mean, I get it.
They make it easy to do it. I mean, they want
they
you
do.
To do it.
They do, and I hear you, but why not give them? Why not put them in a position where they want to stay? Like,
I got you. I mean, my answer to that, and I think it's true and it's fair. I mean, these are adults we're talking about. But to me, like, once you're in the program takes care of you. You have the program to depend on, and to me, like. I mean, and this is how I was waiting tables in college. You know, if I made $300 at night, I'd wake up with negative 20 in my pocket the next morning, you know.
Yeah.
And
but,
you know, I know.
But again,
I get it.
If it applies to your, like, so you're working at your family restaurant, which means your family is generating money. No, even if it's not a large amount, they're still generating money. What about those guys that, you know, they come from the scrub of the mud? And their whole idea is it's not about them waking up with negative money because of them spending it and having a good time. It's about them sending it home
sure.
for their little brothers and their little sisters and their moms and their dads.
Well, that's
and
what they do with the stipend, right? I mean, that's, well, you know, I mean, again, that's what we've seen for years, and it's not enough.
Exactly, and it's not enough because if you're sending your stipend home, then you're not able – It is a situation where you're forced to make hard decisions, whereas if you're paying these guys, like to me, I feel like if you pay these guys a certain amount, base salary, base, then guys will be more willing to focus in on being student athletes, not just trying to get to the pros so that they can pay money or so that they can support their families, and which I don't even know that that's a great motive. It should be the great motivator because,
no.
honestly speaking, your parents getting you to a point of where you can support yourself is the idea, not getting them in a position where they can support the support their mom and dad. But that's here nor there. It's still an idea that if we grew up on oodles and noodles or Vienna sausages or sardines and crackers, that if I'm doing this well and somebody's out there eating filet mignon and caviar and all kinds of different things based off of what I'm doing on Saturdays, then there shouldn't be a problem with you being able to have your mom and dad, you know, doing well as well. And I think that that's where this big issue comes into play for a lot of the guys, because we're talking about the guys who are generating money.
No,
they're
I agree
generating
with that.
The money.
And I think the stipend should, obviously, the stipend should grow anyway for all of these people. And that would help, I think, exponentially. But to me, having something to show when you're done with your career, as opposed to just being, you know, spit out.
I agree with
by
you.
The
no,
university.
I
and I think
saying.
Guys will do. I think guys will do what guys do now. Some guys will take great advantage of being at the place. Some guys won't. You know, some guys will take advantage of the financial backing. Some guys will screw it up. I mean, that's they're adults, and that's the nature of the sport. But it's going to be a very interesting conversation, and it's going to get really muddled up.
It is.
As far as how to take care of the rest of the athletes on campus.
And then where do agents come in? Like representation. Like, because now lawyers, money managers.
Yeah, I'm going to use my
handlers.
Uncle.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's going to get crazy. It's going to become nuts out there based off of that stuff.
He is Petros Papadakis, AM 570 LA Sports, Fox college football analyst, always kind enough to join us every single Tuesday. And Petros, you got to deal with later on, you know, blowhard Padre fans who are feeling good about their
win. How about the swag
Dodgers.
Chain?
Yeah, how about that? I mean, you know, just a knockoff.
Kind of Bush League. Yeah, kind
of
Bush.
Of what the Hurricanes did, you know, with the turnover chain.
Yeah, let the college kids have it. You know,
yeah, it's a bit much, but that's the Padres.
Come on, be a kid again. Come on, let's do it.
Well, the Dodgers had the bubble machine, you know, a few years back. But that was a little bit more organic, you know. It was dorky, but at least it was just something they were doing. I mean, they're selling these things in the stands now, and a bunch of kids are walking around with them looking like idiots. It's like Run DMC, you know. It's like, I remember the big-ass chain. Remember what was the movie, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, with the guy OG'd over gold?
Gold overdose.
He's wrapped up like a mummy in the gold.
Yeah. man. Get him on Twitter at the old P. Petros, we appreciate it, man. Let's do it again next week.
Oh, it's always great. A pleasure
All
talking,
right, buddy.
LeVar. Have a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
There he is, the great Petros Papadakis here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Coming up top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now here on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, it is the Dan Patrick Show. So make sure you stick around as those guys will take you into the morning, all sorts of stuff of the NFL, college football, athletes getting paid, and then a preview of Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals coming up later on tonight in the NBA. So, LeVar, you mentioned, now first and foremost, you said that you began as a Steelers fan, correct? That was your team growing up.
I'll end as a Steelers fan, too.
Okay, so now when you were playing in the NFL, did you still root for the Steelers?
Yeah.
Okay, so while you were a player in the NFL, not on the Steelers, you were still pulling for them?
Absolutely.
I'm a fan first. Yes, okay.
I'm a fan first. I think the best football players, best athletes, period, are fans first, not part-timers that just go out there and play.
Okay, did you ever play against the Steelers?
Yes, I did.
Okay, did it affect you at all, your performance, going, you know, I don't know if I can do this to my childhood team?
No.
Okay.
In fact, I was out there. I was out there trying to get bodies, man.
You know? So the reason I ask all this is because you were drafted by Washington back in the day, and they got a little bit of an issue. All right, so they've had this issue with the team name. Many people have wanted them to change it for a long time. They've been going as the Washington Football Team. Mm-hmm. The problem is they can't get it trademarked. They've tried unsuccessfully yet again, and then you've got a guy who actually gobbled up all the different possible team names that they would be interested in, and he is now just holding on to those. So he is, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Hoarders before.
Yeah. I heard this story a while back.
Yeah, so this guy still has these names, and so Washington can't get the name trademarked. So, listen, LeVar, you are, multiple-time Pro Bowler. That is the team that brought you into the NFL. I mean, you got to come up with a solution here. I mean, I think it is your job. It's your duty to figure this thing out for Washington, because apparently they can't figure it out themselves.
Oh. Well, here's the thing, right? To come up with the name would be to have to capture the essence of what the identity moving forward is going to be.
Right.
And that isn't always an easy thing, easily definable deal.
Yeah.
Now you can look at certain things, and I, you know, I want to be careful in how I say what I say, because that gobbler is probably listening to the show right now. You know, we do have an affiliate station in Washington, D.C., so he could be listening to what I'm saying. But to give hints to the decision makers on this situation, you have to dig deep into the roots and the values of your fan base and of the area. And it doesn't always have to be so simple. The Bears, you know, the Lions. It doesn't always have to be so simple. You know, like switch things up. It's 2021. Like, think about what the District of Columbia has represented, or the surrounding areas, Prince George's County, Fairfax County, you know, all of the different areas that are staunch supporters of the franchise. Figure out what that is, you know, and run with that. And I could guarantee you that hoarder does not have that name already parked, Jonas.
I mean, like, what about the Hogs? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, that back
well,
in the day.
Well, that's so easy and that simple.
I know.
But that represents an error. That doesn't rep. Like, that would be like making the Steelers the Steel Curtains. Like, it just represents an error. Like, that's not, to me, that's not like what the franchise, like the Steelers to me, like, that's Steel City, Steel Town. That's the identity of the team. Figure out something that's the identity of Washington, D.C. And that is where your answer lies.
I mean, listen, look, I threw out the idea last year. If Dan Snyder really wanted to play the villain role in the NFL and he really wanted to go
right back to the Washington Redskins.
Well, it's either that or call himself the Washington Snyders.
Or the Snyders.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you want to be over the top and you want to please some people and also piss them off at the same time. Just name them after yourself. Now, why can't we call them the Washington Arringtons? I mean, is that outside the realm of possibility? The Washington LeVars?
I wouldn't want that.
I mean, okay. Well,
you could call them the Greens before you call them that. Call them the Washington Greens.
So none of these options that are out there, like the Washington football team, is not the worst thing in the world. But I feel like we could do better than that. I feel like there's an opportunity there to do better. You know, like
the answer lies in not so many traveled roads.
Yes.
That's all I'll say.
Well, listen, it's been a fun couple of days hanging out with you,
LeVar. Hey, back at you, Jonas.
Let's
man,
do it again soon.
I look forward to seeing you again. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
This has been a lot of fun. And thanks for everybody for hanging out with us here, for Danny G, Roberto, and Eddie Garcia, and most importantly, you, for making us a part of your Tuesday. We appreciate you here on FSR.